Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God to which we direct our attention this morning is the gospel reading from the book of Matthew. You may be seated. As if the world wasn't providing us enough reasons to think that we should be fearful, all the things that are going on around us, think about this week, how from last Sunday evening until Thursday, everyone in the world was fearful of what was going on in a submarine in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. The news cycle was feeding that to us over and over again, and that's not the only thing. We heard Friday and yesterday about all the things going on in Russia and how maybe we should be fearful of what that means for us. The world feeds us reasons to be fearful all of the time. And if that wasn't enough, Scripture and Jesus himself reminds us of what will happen to those who follow him and are faithful to the message that he calls us to proclaim. It's not just our world today that gives us reason to fear. It's the mission that Jesus has put us on. He says, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Jesus is commissioning his disciples to go out and share his message, and this is what he tells them. These are all the things that you should be fearful of. And it's all the things that we could be fearful of as well. On top of all of the unrest in our world, the constant reminders of tragedy and all sorts of issues would cause us to fear on a daily basis. We even have Jesus telling us that we should be afraid. Actually, he doesn't tell us that we should be afraid. He just reminds us of the reality of being his disciples. Reminds us of the reality of the world that he's sending us out into. But not only does he remind us of that, he reminds us of the comfort and the consolation that only he can give to us. Paul also reminds us in Romans that this is a world that we are not to be conformed to. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. There's so much to fear in this world. But as Jesus prepares his disciples for the ascension, he's up on that mountain, the message that he gives to them is one of comfort and one of consolation. And it's one for us too. I am with you always to the end of the age. That fear that the world is feeding us and the fear that we feel is a natural emotion, but it needs to be rightly placed in the one who is going to hold us accountable in the end. Just last week we heard about Jesus calling his disciples to himself and then sending them out into the world, having given them the authority that was given to him by his Father. Jesus tells the 12 that they're going to heal the sick, that they are going to raise the dead, they're going to cleanse lepers, and even cast out demons. What a mission that Jesus gives to them. But what we didn't hear in that gospel reading, or today's gospel reading, is the verses that bridge the gap between what we heard last week and what we heard today. Chapter 10, verse 16 tells us, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and be innocent as doves. Jesus placed great responsibility but also great trust in his disciples, but he needs them to know that this is not going to be an easy mission. There will be people who will be unable and who will be unwilling to hear the message that you've been given to deliver to them. There will be those who are even hostile to that message. And at times there are going to be reasons to fear. For you are being sent out as sheep among the wolves. And I'm saying that to each one of you. not just saying what Jesus said to his disciples, you are being sent out as sheep among the wolves. And I don't know if I have ever, as a Christian, felt more like a sheep among wolves than I do today. The hostility of the world to the gospel message that we've been given to proclaim is as strong as it has ever been. Even so, God goes before us and is always with us. And as Jesus prepares his disciples for this mission, he reminds them that even family relationships are not immune to the issues that will arise when his faithful people speak the truth into the world. You've probably experienced it. Most of us have had our faith affect our relationships in a negative way. And the fear of those losing those closest to us as a result of our faithfulness to the gospel is sometimes debilitating. I've said to myself way too many times, if I say something right now, I'm going to make them mad and they're going to walk away. You've probably all at least thought that in your mind, if not said it out loud. But the truth is, if I don't say something right now, I may never have another chance. And then the thought that I may have made them mad pales in comparison to the regret of never having shared the life-giving message of the gospel. Jesus wasn't ever one to sugarcoat anything. Those who will tell you that Jesus was just all love and he cared for everybody and accepted everybody exactly as they were are lying to you. Jesus told it like it is. He told the truth. He did so in love, but he told the truth. And his message and his mission is so important that those carrying it out need to be fully prepared for what they're going to encounter. Even so, Jesus doesn't leave his disciples without consolation. For he says to them immediately after warning them of the perils that they're going to face, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. He always makes sure to leave us with the assurance that he is with us, and to leave us with the joy of the salvation that he has won for us. The message and the mission that Jesus sent his disciples on is no different than the one that he gives to us. He gave them the Great Commission, and we have that very same calling. Go and make disciples. Jesus has given his charge to his disciples. He's warned them of the obstacles that they're going to face, and now, in the face of everything that's in front of them, he tells them three times not to fear. And that's a message that's especially important for us today. There's so much that we are being told to be fearful of, so much that we could be afraid of. And a healthy awareness of danger is absolutely a good thing. It's an instinct that's been given to us by God for our benefit. But debilitating fear is not of the Lord. We should be cautious to preserve this earthly body, and we should be concerned for the welfare of every single one of our neighbors, but we can't allow fear to control our lives and derail us from what God wants us to do. And so these words are as true for us today as they were for the disciples. Three times Jesus says not to fear. The first time he says to them, so have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. He's talking about those who are going to persecute his disciples, those who will not receive the message and might even seek to cause them harm. Jesus knows that the natural human reaction to that kind of treatment is going to be fear. And yet he encourages them to remember that he is always in control. And one day all the secrets of God's plan will be revealed to them. All that once was hidden from their eyes is going to be made known. And in this assurance, we too are reminded that there's a design to God's ways that's sometimes beyond our understanding. And even though it's beyond our understanding, it's always for our good. As Jesus reminds his disciples of this truth, he reiterates the calling to declare openly what he has told them in private, to shout from the mountaintops not only the gospel of human sin and need, but also God's provision and forgiveness, and most especially the life and salvation that comes through his death on the cross. Jesus doesn't offer simple platitudes to them by saying, "Don't be afraid." He gives each of us a focus to take our minds and our hearts and our bodies off of that fear and direct ourselves toward him and what he wants us to tell the world. And isn't that so often the problem? Is that we're so inwardly focused that we can't think about anything other than ourselves when so much is going on around us. And fear is always about how is this going to affect me? Well, fear is a natural emotion given to us by God in some circumstances for our preservation. It can also be one of the things that makes us most inwardly focused. When we fear, we very rarely act. Our society has come to praise that kind of thinking. You've no doubt heard people say that pursuing your own happiness is the point of this life. Well, it's not. Actually, it's totally the opposite of that. I was sent a post from a social media site this week that speaks to the reality of our culture's inward focus and what would really help us to turn it around. The writer says, "Stop thinking about yourself for 5 seconds." And if that's all the whole post said, it probably would have been worth it. But he does go on to say a little bit more than that. He says, "Work on loving and serving the people around you. And if you do that, and if you stop thinking about yourself every moment of the day, you're going to turn back one day and notice that you feel pretty good about yourself. That is the kind of happiness and contentment that only comes as a byproduct of focusing on loving other people. Selfishness never leads to lasting happiness. Only fleeting pleasure." And I'd add to that, that living in fear of being the one who loves and serves others robs us of the interaction and the contentment that comes with following our Lord's commands to us. The second time that Jesus says to them about fear, he says this, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." Even the worst that can be done to us by our persecutors can't destroy our relationship with God. Our fear has to be rightly placed, and that's not in the one who can only destroy the body. Whether it be our persecutors, or terrible violence and unrest, or unexpected tragedy, or even Satan himself, none of these are able to take away anything but this earthly body. God himself is the one who is to be feared, because he alone is the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Our rightly placed fear is in the one who, if we reject him, is going to become our enemy. It's far better for us to lose this mortal life while faithfully following the Lord than to turn away from him and lose everything for all eternity. Jesus' third admonition not to fear comes when he says, "Fear not, Therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. I'm not sure how comforting it is to be compared to little birds that are worth very, very little. Even two of them, right? Even many of them. But of course, Jesus does say that we are of more value than many of these sparrows. But the real consolation here is not in the fact that he values us more than this other created being. The real consolation here is the fact that even though God has concern for even the smallest of his creatures, he is concerned even more so with the well-being of each and every one of us. He knows the number of hairs on our head. What is there to fear when the Lord of all creation knows us and cares for us so graciously? That's the model of fatherhood that we earthly fathers seek to emulate. We want to know where our children are. We want to know how they are. There were a number of times this week when I walked past the girls' room at a time when they should have been in there, and I panicked just for a moment because they weren't there. I didn't hear the noises coming from there until I remembered that they were at camp all week. It's what a father does. Of course, we're never, as earthly fathers, measure up to our heavenly Father, but we seek to be like him because he knows where we are every moment of the day. He cares about what it is that we're doing, and he desires to be with us and to have us seek him out. You are of more value to him than many sparrows. In fact, you are more valuable to him than anything. Even in this passage, which starts out with such a dire warning about the fate of all who carry the gospel message, Jesus provides great comfort to his people. Notice that Jesus doesn't attempt to convince the disciples that there won't be hardship in the mission that he's sending them out on. There's going to be. And there's going to be hardship on the missions that he sends you on as well. Perhaps most of all, for those who follow him most closely. But in each of his encouragements not to fear, his reasoning is rooted in a promise and in a reality that he makes very clear to us. And the greatest of those promises is the one that's repeated time and time again throughout all of Scripture to all of God's people, which is when Jesus says to us, "Fear not, for I am with you." Helen Keller once said, "Security is mostly a superstition. It does not exist in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experience it. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. The fearful are caught as often as the bold. Faith alone defends." God calls us not to be fearful of the world around us, despite all the fears that are thrown at us on a regular basis. He calls us to love deeply the people that he's placed around us, and to love them so deeply that we desire for them the same salvation that our faith has given to us. But there is one rightly placed fear: to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That's our rightly placed fear. All other fear distracts us from the comforts and the consolation of Christ, who continually says to us, "I am with you." May we take that message to heart and remember that even in what seems like the darkest of times, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God, who loves us and cares for us so deeply that he gave up his one and only Son that we might have eternal life with him. Eternal life where there is no more fear. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.